This morning, we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 1, specifically verse 21. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time. May your word be taught, learned, and lived out. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So the verse we want to take a look at here this morning, Matthew 1, verse 21, if you would read this with me, please. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we're going to take a little quiet stroll down and take a look at this name Jesus. Because this name, Jesus, has significance for everyone here today. And so I just want to show you this same verse. If you would, read this with me aloud. Okay, so you got the... Okay, so we're there, right? You don't want to read this with me. It's all Greek to you. It's because it's all Greek. All right. So this is what we're looking at. This is the Greek of the verse you just read. And so we want to take a special consideration into line two, third word there. Anyone want to guess what that third word is? That's the name Jesus. But the problem is in the English, we have the first letter. We have the hard J. All right. They don't have that. All right, it's more of the Y sound. All right, so it would seem empty to us. Jesus. You hear that in the Spanish. All right, Jesus. Spanish comes from directly from the Greek. All right, and so you have this study of the languages and how different words sound in the same language. And so I want for your consideration, not for your laughter here this morning. All right, take a look at this word. All right, for you, it's a bunch of squiggly lines and dots, and it's going from place to place. And all right, so this is a name. Anyone want to guess what this name is? If you say Jesus, Jesus is a Greek word, all right? So interesting enough is we study this, and the first thing is called a yod, all right? Can anyone guess what letter this sounds like? Yeah, all right? So if you sound this out, especially if you've seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ that has this word a couple thousand times, not in the Hebrew, but the Aramaic, this would read Yeshua. Yeshua. All right? Yeshua is the name, what we call Joshua. All right? And Joshua is where you get the Greek word Jesus. All right? So if you go and you go to the time of the birth of Jesus, she in the Hebrew would have named him Yeshua. Yeshua. But in the Greek, it's Jesus. All right? And so the two words are the same. And we see this interesting similarity between Joshua and Jesus. Joshua, a time in which they had this great prophet, Moses, and he was to stick out in the history of the Jews. But at the same time, here comes this guy right after Moses, and he completes the journey across the waters of the Jordan into the promised land. That's key right there, all right? And so Joshua leads them, and his strength never fails him. He is a guy that keeps going. It's like the Energizer Bunny, all right? And at the tail end of his life, Joshua has an assembly, all right? So imagine not meeting under roofs. I mean, this is on mountaintops. And Joshua is meeting with the entire congregation of Israel, all right? And we take a look at that from Joshua chapter 24, all right? And what he does in this almost entire chapter is God lays out through Joshua what he does. He says, I am the one who went with your forefathers. I brought them to this land. I am the one who brought them through the land of slavery, the land of Egypt. I'm the one who brought them through the desert. I'm the one who brought them to this place. You are here because of what the Lord has done for you. And he does that. And then finally, Joshua looks at them and says, okay, who are you going to serve? There's a lot of gods out there. There are a lot of things you can go off and you can worship and you can follow them. What are you going to do? Interesting enough is the people say, we want to worship the Lord God. Joshua comes back, and very interesting is that Joshua says, you cannot serve the Lord God. You can't. He's holy. You're not. People say, we still want to go after him. And Joshua says, okay, but on this day, this is what's going to happen. You are the witnesses, and I am going to set up this place with a large rock, a large stone, and place it here as a witness. This is a witness. This is going to tell future generations that the Lord God is ready to make a covenant, but you can't make it with him. And interesting enough is the archaeology of the ancient days is a lot of archaeologists believe that this is the very rock that Joshua put down as a marker that you cannot follow the Lord your God because you are not holy. So this is archaeologists saying, we still have this. And we think that this is. And so this is a site that's holy to a lot of Jews. This also has the tomb of Joseph, the guy from the Egypt lore that led Egypt through its famine, all right? The one who was betrayed by his brothers, all right? And he says, okay, when I die, and the Lord finally leads you to the promised land, carry my bones. Don't leave them in Egypt. And so you can go to this day, and you can go to Joseph's tomb at Shechem. All right, this is Shechem. Shechem is a holy place in the top 10 tribes, okay? So when they split, Shechem became, once again, a focal point, all right? So this is Shechem, and this is also where Joshua is buried. So two famous tombs here. We don't know where Joshua necessarily is. To this day, we know where Joseph's burial site is. To this day. All right, and so interesting enough is the stone as a witness for everything that has been said. And so we take a look here at Matthew 1:21, and I want to take a look at what has been said, what has been written, what it means. All right, so let's read this together. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. We don't want to skip over this. We don't want to skip over this. Just as Joshua said to the people, you cannot go to God because he is holy. The language of this is also the same. If you notice, who is doing the work here? It is God doing the work. Notice, if you can get your way to heaven, he will accept you. This literally is Jesus coming to earth because this is the only way that people would be saved from their sins, and it would take a God feat, a God event, in order for the Savior to be born so that you and me can look to another sign. And another witness that God is the one who is the witness between us. Because we cannot keep that covenant. We're always breaking promises to everyone in our lives, especially to God. And God is saying, I know that, but I will still keep up my end of the bargain. And he gives us the stone that's been rolled away in the word. And you can't go to a tomb and see Jesus' body like you can Joseph's or Joshua's or anyone else. You can't go to his tomb because the sign of the empty tomb is there for you and for me to let us know that God has done the work for us. And so when we say, okay, what do we have hope in? Because your God has been absent for 2,000 years. And we say, no, God has been
ever present with us through our struggles, through everything. We don't have to worry about what's happening next. So what are you going to do after you die? Scripture says I'm going to be praising God forever and ever. Unlimited time. So doesn't that sound like it's going to wear out? No, it isn't. It's going to go by so fast. Not even going to worry about it. I'm not even going to worry about it. And so what we focus here on today is the hope that Jesus Christ gives us, because that tomb is empty, because we don't have to focus on what we can do for God, but we can't. This is God saying, God is a witness that we cannot do or save ourselves. This is all of our futures right here, unless he comes back really soon. This is your future, this is mine, to be put in that tomb and for the stone to be closed. But here is the future. That's not our home. This is not a place. Wherever you reside, wherever you place at the top of that Christmas card, that's not your address. God calls you home to a hope that is greater than this. Don't attach yourself to what is here. Attach yourself to the throne room of God, in which we look forward to what God does for us, brings us home, and welcomes us home. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, because, Lord, there seems to be no hope in the world. Remind us, just like in that picture, that tomb is empty. And, Lord God, the tomb somewhere in Jerusalem is empty for a reason. It's because of what you have done for us, Lord. Because your death on the cross, Lord, our sins are forgiven, because there is an empty tomb and no Roman, no Jew can find your body, Lord. Lord God, that was great evidence to remind us that, Lord God, our bodies don't belong here. They belong in heaven with you. So, Lord God, as we go on this journey throughout our lives, be with us. As, Lord God, may whatever happens in our life point directly to you. May you receive all the glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.